Come on, everybody, get up on your feet and speak that name. Come on, do it right now. Speak the name. There's power in that name. There's healing in that name. There's victory in that name. Come on, say the name Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise. Forgiven today. Fear has to go.
Your name is healing. Your name is power. Your name is holy. I'm strong. Strong power. Wonderful name. Glorious name. Powerful name.
Call on him and praise him. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Say that name. Jesus, Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are a healer. We thank you that you are a miracle worker. We thank you for breakthrough and turnaround today. As we close this year and step into a new year, we thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness. You are a faithful God. Your mercies are new every morning. We bless you and praise you today. You are holy. You are sovereign. You are judge. You are ruler. You are king. You are creator. You are everything. And we bless you today. We bless your name. We praise your name. We break assignments. We come against every principality, every power over this city, over this region. We break down strongholds. In the name of Jesus, we declare it so. We thank you for your power, your anointing, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness. We bless you today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, lift up a shout of praise. Lift up a shout of praise. Lift up a shout of victory. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. Give somebody a high five and tell them you are in the right place today. You are in the right place today. You could have stayed at home and slept it off. I'm talking about the pudding and the cake and the pies and the roast beef and the turkey, because there was a lot of folks that succumbed to that today all across the country. A lot of churches even succumbed in advance and just canceled service today. Oh yeah, thank you for being here on this Sunday. After all, we are celebrating the birth of our Savior. So why should we stay home on this weekend? I know it's become convenient. Somebody said, oh, Pastor, don't be so mean. I know it's become convenient and the easy thing to do and the politically correct thing to do. But why would you not have church on Christmas Sunday? That's about nine of you. Thank God for you. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to build a bridge. However, a lot of folks spend their whole life burning bridges, blowing up bridges, thinking they'll never have to cross them again. What if you have to turn around and go back across a bridge that you blew up? Now what? You burn them, you blow them up, and then you need to go across. What were you thinking? I'm a bridge builder. As a matter of fact, they accuse me of being a hoarder, but I'm not a hoarder, I'm a bridge builder. Y'all hush. I built bridges to 4,284 people just on my phone. It's called relationship. It's all about relationship. My mama did teach me when I was growing up. She said, it's all about who you know. I found that to be true. It's all about who you know. It's about relationship. And there's nobody better to know than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He can get you out of any mess you find yourself in. Some of y'all know by experience. Amen. I'm gonna see if I can shift to this one. There we go. Smooth transition. Wasn't that good? We like smooth transitions. I want to talk to you a few minutes today as we close out 2021. This is 2021, right? As we close it out, this is the last Sunday this year. Is that right? Are you sure? Are you sure it's not next Sunday? Some of y'all looking and checking right now. You want to be sure, didn't you? Judd said, this is it. This is it. Did you do everything you wanted to do? Did you accomplish everything you needed to accomplish? Did you build all the bridges you needed to build? Did you repair all the breaches that needed to be repaired? Are you where you expected to be? Are you where you planned to be? It's gotten quiet up in here now. Well, 22 is just a few minutes away. It's just a few moments from now. And so as we close this year, I did want to talk to you about how we transition from here to there. Transitions are important. And building bridges are important. So I wanted just to lay it out for you. There we go. So, does anybody recognize that first little phrase there? Building bridges. And what? Does anybody recognize that? Do you know that it's important? Do you believe that it's important to build bridges? Do you believe that you have a destiny? Should you pursue your destiny? Or is destiny just sitting back and waiting to see what happens? Is that it? Just let it unfold however it unfolds. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. Is that you? Is that the way it's supposed to be? Or should we push and press and pursue? I've been known to kick in a few doors because I felt like it was my destiny. Because the enemy will try to stop you and thwart you and distract you and hinder you. And when you are close to him and you hear his voice, and he said, my sheep know my voice, then sometimes you just know that you know that you know you're supposed to go through that door.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And at times the enemy, it seems like there was a book written about the secrets of a giant killer, and there is a giant that will stand at the door and say, no, you cannot cross this threshold. You cannot, you shall not. I'm here to stop you. Can't you see that I'm a giant? And how many know that every time God has a new season in your life, there will be a hindrance at the threshold trying to stop you and keep you from crossing the threshold into your new season? It starts early in life. Even when you go to kindergarten, it's a new thing. When you go from kindergarten to the first grade, it's a new thing. Fear often arises saying, no, you can't go there. When you go to elementary school, when you start crossing into junior high school, there's always older kids there, and sometimes younger kids are intimidated. When you go from junior high to high school, when you go from high school into college, when you go from college to your first job, when it comes to getting married, there are often thresholds covered in fear that want to keep us from crossing the threshold and walking into our season, walking into our destiny. We live in a very complex, highly charged, it's all about me. I thought somebody would say amen right there. It's that I have the right controversial time. I need to say that a little faster so you get it. We live in a complex, controversial time, right? That's highly charged. It's all about me, that I have the right. Culture and political issues are not only clawing at the social fabric of our nation, but also the unity between Christians. Have you ever seen a time when Christians were more at conflict with each other? I told you last year, around April or May, that the separation has begun. The division has begun. The process has begun. And everything that we have seen the last 18 months has been a precursor and desensitization, getting you ready for what's coming. It's in the Bible. It's in Timothy. It's in Matthew. In the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, coveters, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, truce breakers, incontinent, fierce, heady, high-minded, traitors, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. Jesus, the disciples said to Jesus in Matthew 24, when shall we know the last days? When shall we know of your coming? And he said, there's a long list in Matthew 24. He said in Matthew 24, he said, there will be a spirit of offense. Many will be offended. Anybody been offended lately? If you haven't, you will be. Shake it off. He said there will be earthquakes and famines and pestilences. Then he said this, see that you are not troubled, for these things must come to pass, and then the end comes. So we live in this very complex time, season, and the division has begun. And did you notice this week? Did you see it? I've seen it several times before, but did you see this week that they've come up with the idea that they can put a chip in you for your vaccine card? I hope you are wiser than that. I hope you've read your book. I hope you know that the Antichrist is coming, and he's going to give a mark called the mark of the beast. And the Bible says it will be in your hand, your right hand, or your forehead. It's become so easy now. We've adapted it. Years ago, when you would go to the grocery store, they stopped punching in the amount and they would just scan it and it would go beep, beep, beep. And you started trusting that then. Did you know that every scan code on the planet, on every piece of product, whether it's large or small, did you know that every one of those codes has the number 666 embedded in the code? It's everywhere. And we just accepted it. Some of you that are older, you wondered years ago how it would happen. Well, now you know. It's just slipped right in. You use your card to get gas. You use your card at the grocery store. I remember the first time I got a credit card in the mail that had a chip in it. I called them and I said, I don't want this. I'm going to send it back. I want my old card. They informed me that all the new cards were going to have chips. And it'll be very easy to go from the convenience of a card with a chip to just placing it in their hand. Notice I said their hand. And instead of going to the grocery store and pulling out your card, you just scan your hand. And they've already started the desensitization last year when you go to a restaurant and they hold up the little thing to take your temperature. Beep. They want to get your temperature. So when you have the chip in your forehead, you'll be used to it. Beep, 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 beep. Don't get quiet on me. So, compliance is the agenda of the day. Comply. Get your vaccination. Wear your mask. Stay quarantined. Stay at home. Yeah. Compliance is the demand. Have we ever lived in a season where there were more demands? But the way I read my Bible says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, His own special people. And we are called not to be, not to comply to everything that the culture wants us to be. We are to stand up. We have been chosen. We have been anointed. We are the ones that are supposed to cause the shift in the atmosphere. We are the ones that are supposed to build a bridge to the lost. We are the ones that are supposed to change the world. We are supposed to turn the world upside down. I wish I could get some help up in here on this last Sunday of the year. Jesus Christ became the bridge. He's not just a bridge builder. He is the bridge. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That was His agenda. He came to seek and to save the lost. John 10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. So Jesus is the bridge. What is the bridge? A bridge is a connection, a connector. A bridge connects two things or two people or two places. A bridge is a vehicle that we use to get from one place to another. Jesus became the bridge. Bridges should be a part of your DNA. If He is the bridge, and we are bridge builders, and we're supposed to be like Him, then building a bridge, being a bridge, should be part of your DNA. A number of years ago, I was down at Jensen Franklin's Free Chapel. After the service, a man came up to me on the stage, and he said, I have a word for you. And you know, when somebody does that, you're always a little bit, you know, like, okay. Try the spirits and see if they're God. And so this guy started prophesying to me. And the first thing he said was, you're a tank. And I thought, well, I've lost weight. I don't know that I'm that big. No, he said, you're a tank. And I said, a tank? I said, a tank destroys things. And I'm thinking to myself, you missed it, bud. You have missed it. And he kept on talking. And he said, but not just any kind of tank. Not any kind of tank. You're a tank often is noted to be a destroying piece of equipment. I thought, yeah, now you're right there, and that's not me. And he said, the enemy has set tank traps for you. And I thought, well, if I was a mouse, then it'd be mouse traps. So I guess that's a pretty good thing. And he began to talk about these tank traps that were huge holes in the ground to stop me, to hinder me. And certainly I'd had my share of obstacles to go around, to go over. And as he began to talk about all this, it started to make sense. You know, and I chewed on it a little bit. And a few days later, one of my church members, we were living in Gadsden, Alabama at the time. And she had a job over at the Anniston Army Depot. And she had been after me to come and do a devotion. So she said, Pastor, I need you to come. I do a devotion every Friday morning. And she said, I have about 100 people that work for me that come and we do a devotion on Friday morning before work. And it was like at 7 o'clock or 7:30. I said, okay, I'll come. I'll be there. So I get up and I drive the 30 minutes over there and I go into this room and we have the meeting and I did a devotion and prayed for people. And at the end of the time, she said, Pastor, I want to bring you to my office. I want to give you something. And I said, okay. So I went, and when I got there, she had these pictures in a file. Some of you may have driven by or walked by, rather. You might have been driving, I don't know. But you may have walked by this on the wall. It hangs out there outside my office door. And it says, a bridge building tank. And she gave this folder to me. She said, Pastor, the Lord told me to give you this. I said, what is that? And she says, well, it's a tank. And I said, I see that. And she called the number, the designated number that had been given to it by the military, and said, that's what it is. And I said, well, what is it in layman's terms? She said, it is a bridge building tank. And this was only a few days after I had got this prophetic word from this man. And he said, you are a tank. And so she gives me this and says, you're a bridge building tank. Tank in the sense that I was large and in charge. You ought to be large and in charge. You are a warrior. You didn't hear me. I said, you are a warrior. God has created you for such a time as this. We are in the kingdom for such a time as this. We are in a battle. We are in a transition right now, spiritually, from the dispensation of grace to the dispensation of the last days. We are living in the last days. It has started. The transition has started. The division has started. The separation has started. All the preconditioning, getting ready for the rapture, the tribulation, the mark of the beast, the Antichrist. It's all started. It has begun. And we have to be the warrior that God created us to be. So I'm telling you today, God wants us to build bridges. He doesn't want you to be blowing up bridges. He doesn't want you to be destroying bridges. He doesn't want you to be burning the bridges that He's created for you to walk across. We walk across bridges so we can connect to somebody or something, somebody that's lost, somebody that's on their way to hell, somebody that needs a healing, somebody that needs a miracle, somebody that needs salvation, somebody that needs a life raft. He wants us to connect to them. Yes. Too many in the body of Christ have blown up bridges. People in the world don't want anything to do with churches, with Christian people. Gandhi even said, if it weren't for Christians, I would have become a Christian. There's a way that we need to live and act. And a lot of Christians have ruined reputations. We're all human. We're all subject to mistakes, to failures, to glitches, to problems. But when we do, repent. Apologize to God. Make it right with your fellow man and go on. Quit making excuses for sin. Building bridges is part of our DNA. We need to build bridges of stability and accountability. I don't know about you, but I don't want to cross a bridge that's not stable. I don't want to go across a rickety bridge that I'm afraid may fall apart. Do you? The biggest threat to your life bridge is structural trauma. If the structure is not sound, if the structure of your life is not sound, if the structure, if your foundation is not sound, if it's not built correctly, and maybe you had a good foundation, maybe the structure was good, but you've allowed your past to begin to eat away at the structural integrity of your bridge. Oh, you didn't hear me. Maybe I just need to sit down and camp with you for a while. Look at it. We've allowed the past to eat away at us. People are always talking about their past, talking about what used to be and what happened and what somebody did to them and how they hurt them. Let me show you. How many of you have been hurt? Hold your hand up. Wave it at me. Look around. How many of you have been hurt? Let me break it to you again. You will be hurt again. You've been offended. Ooh. You will be offended again. A spirit of offense has been released on planet Earth. But I take authority today over those spirits in this place. I rebuke the spirit of offense. I rebuke the spirit of sabotage. I rebuke it off of you. I rebuke it off this ministry. I rebuke it out of this city. In the name of Jesus, we are the people of God. We are to build bridges. We are to have structural integrity in our spiritual life. And it starts with you and it starts with me. When you start depending on chemicals, it will cause damage beyond repair. But I can tell you how to repair it. It's called deliverance. Deliverance. If I could sing right now, I'd sing, I've been delivered. I've been delivered. The hold the devil had on me, he ain't got no more. I've been delivered. I've been delivered. I've been delivered by the power of the Lord. Come on, somebody. Yeah, I need you to stay close, LeBron. I'm not sure what key I sing in, but you will figure it out. What chemical are you allowing to damage your life, your structural integrity? Here's a good one. Allowing entrance into your life, things that undermine your values. What do you allow into your life through your eye gate? Through your ear gate, where you go. I was a youth pastor one time at a church, and the pastor, I went to his house one day, and HBO was on. Hell's Best Offer. And I looked, and I'm just a kid, and he's the pastor. And then across the TV, and his wife was there, and his kids were there. Here came some nudity. And I thought, And when it happened, you know what he said? Oh, that doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me. Later on, he ended up divorced and out of the ministry because it didn't bother him. And see, we make excuses for what we see, where we go, what we do, and we say, it doesn't bother me. Well, it should. It should bother you. When you start allowing entrance of things into your life that will undermine your values and what this book teaches, there is a problem. When you allow circumstances and people to erode your... Did I lose it? There it goes. So we need to build the bridge of stability and accountability. Isaiah 33:6 says it like this: wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. Wisdom and knowledge. Where do you get wisdom? He said, if you lack wisdom, ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. Read it in the Bible. Read the book of Proverbs. Read the wisdom books. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. It will be the foundation of your spiritual bridge, your structure, and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. And then in Proverbs 11, the integrity of the upright will guide them. If you are upright, you will have integrity. And if you have integrity, you will live upright. They go hand in hand. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Let me translate. You become a pervert, it's going to destroy you. So we have to maintain stability. We have to build a bridge of stability and accountability. Build a bridge of hope and love. You need to be a hope dealer. See, a lot of people are dope dealers. You need to be a hope dealer. John 13, I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love that I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you are my true followers. We have to love everybody. We can't be so judgmental and criticizing everybody. We need to show the love of God everywhere we go. Hate the sin, but love the sinner. Become a hope dealer, and then build a bridge of joy and peace. Romans 15. I pray that the God who gives hope will fill you with much joy and peace as you trust him. Then you will have more and more hope, and it will flow out of you by the power of the Holy Spirit. We used to sing that little song, if you're happy and you know it. Yeah, clap your hands, stomp your feet. Your face will what? Surely show it. And folks that blow up bridges and burn bridges, claim to be Christians, their face looks like they've been drinking dill pickle juice, sucking on lemons. Smile. You look better when you smile. You're beautiful when you smile. Smile. Oh, I know you've been hurt. I know you've gone through pain. I know there's been trouble. I know there's been storms. But we serve the peacemaker, the peacekeeper, the bridge builder, the bridegroom, the chief cornerstone. So build a bridge of joy and peace. Everywhere you go, people ought to know that you're a Christian by your joy and your peace. I know there are storms, but we have peace in the midst of the storm. We have joy in the midst of sorrow. I know there are things that happen. 2020 was a crazy year. 2021 has been a little better. It's been a crazy year. Build a bridge of joy and peace. And then we need to build a bridge of anointing. We need the anointing. familiar scripture, Psalm 23. You know it, you can quote it. The Lord is my shepherd. He anoints my head with oil. And when your head is anointed with oil, your cup will overflow. We need the anointing. The anointing makes the difference. The anointing destroys yokes. The anointing is what opens doors. The anointing gives you favor. The anointing gives you victory. The anointing helps you keep the victory. We need the anointing to prophesy. We need the anointing to declare and decree His word and righteous things over our family, over our friends, over our city, over our job. When you're anointed, it's like when the Ark of the Covenant went to Obed-Edom's house. Everything changed at his house. When you are anointed, everything changes at your house. Your neighbors next door are blessed because they live next door to you. The anointing exudes from you. The power of healing exudes from your home, from your family, across the street to the neighbors in front of you and behind you and beside you. When you go to work, your employer ought to be thankful that you work there because you are anointed and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is there. His company will be more blessed because you work there. There'll be more sales because you are anointed, because you are there. There will be increase. There will be better peace there because you are anointed and you are there. I'm preaching better than you're shouting on this last Sunday of 2021. Isaiah 10 says it like this: It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Thank God for the anointing. Just lift your hand right now and thank Him for the anointing on your life. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for a baptism of an anointing. We thank You, Lord, for the outpouring of Your anointing. We thank You for the anointing to prophesy. We thank You for the anointing to worship. We thank You for the anointing that breaks and destroys every yoke. We thank You for the anointing, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give You praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank You, Father. It's time that there is an exchange. Exchange your keys for the keys of the kingdom. These are my keys, but these represent the keys to the kingdom. When Jesus was crucified and buried, the Bible teaches that He was in the heart of the earth for 3 days. But on the third day, He got up. What do you think took place during those 3 days? You think it was soul sleep? You think He was just resting? You think He didn't know what was going on? I'm going to tell you what happened. He went to the heart of the earth. I believe that He went right up to the devil himself and told him, "Give it here. I'm here to collect the keys of the kingdom. Put them in my hand." And the Bible says that He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He took them from the enemy. And on the third day, He got up, resurrected, resurrection power, the power and the anointing of God flowing through Him. And He is alive. You. So He is the bridge. Walk across that bridge right now. Be the big bridge builder that He called you to be in the name of Jesus. And when you begin to build bridges, you will change somebody's personal world. When you begin to build bridges, you will change your own world. You will make a difference because you have the keys that He has extended to you as a bridge builder. Come on, get on your feet and bless Him. Get on your feet and praise Him today. Take a moment and worship Him.